Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hi there, it's Wednesday. It's another Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington. Joining me this week are the two Ians, Wilkerson without the second eye and McLaughlin with. What have we got on the show this week? We are looking ahead to the European Tour event, the KLM Dutch Open. We've also got a couple of decent, interesting events. We've got the Evian Championship, which is the last Ladies Tour event of the season. And we're even going to dip our toe in, because there isn't a main tour US event this week, into the murky world of the web.com. We've got the Albertson Boys. There are some people playing in that who you would have heard of. That's Boys, B-O-I-S-E. It's not a Boys, B-O-Y-S tournament. But first of all, we will review the weekend and we will look ahead to the Ryder Cup with your questions. We had a bumper response to my Twitter request for questions this week, and a lot of them are focused on the Ryder Cup. That comes up in a couple of weeks. Everyone's getting very excited about that. So, first of all, boys, last weekend, Keegan Bradley just beat Justin Rose in the event over in, where was it? What's it called, that event? What did we have last week?
The BMW Championship.
BMW, of course it was, yeah. Exactly. And Rose had the consolation, although he lost the playoff, of being world number one. I guess you were cheering for Bradley, for Keegan Bradley in the playoff, weren't you, Ian?
Yeah, Bradley was a much better result than Rose in the end. Like, when Bradley hit those two terrible shots in 18, I was like, oh God, he's just going to jack it in here. But then Rose kind of fell up himself with the, he came up short from the middle of the fairway on the 18th, didn't get up and down, obviously. And then it was a very, very poor three putt from nowhere to kind of give it to Bradley in the end. So yeah, Bradley was a good result for us.
Good result. Wilco, any good for you?
Well, I didn't really get involved in it this week. I've been following Bradley though for a few weeks. I think we're getting to the stage where some of the belly putters, you know, they're getting over the problems that they had to. They've sort of fought their way through.
Yeah, Adam's playing a bit better now, isn't he?
Yeah, Adam Scott's playing better. Webb Simpson won the Players, didn't he? So I think we're getting to the stage where perhaps with another close season coming up, that a lot of these players are going to start pushing on again, perhaps in the next 12 months.
Keeping on that Bernhard Langer.
Yeah, well, you never know. Never rule him out, mate.
He could go well. Okay, then, so we've got the Ryder Cup coming up. We now know the lineups. Finau got the nod for the final US place. What's the latest betting now, Ian?
We go 4-5 USA, 11-8 Europe, and the tie at 10-1.
4-5 USA. What's the worst result in the book as things stand?
USA have obviously been popular since probably late July, so I'm still Team Europe all the way, not just for patriotic purposes. I think they're still a good bet at around 11-8 mark, but yeah, punters getting stuck into the USA at present.
Okay, so the tournament starts in, what have we got, 15 days time? Yeah. Should be good. You're not going over, are you, Ian?
No, I'll be working all weekend first.
Oh, you should.
Joe's going. Joe Chapman's going. He's got a ticket.
Who's going? Jeremy?
Joe Chapman.
Joe Champion. Yeah. You got mixed up there, didn't you? Joe Chapman.
It's all these great JC golf judges.
Yeah.
Got the race.
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah. Right then. Okay, let's get stuck into questions. Let's ask you, Ian McLaughlin, first. Do you think Deck Pilling says, do you think there are any certain foursomes and four-ball pairings for day one?
I saw the question and I actually went into captain mode for both teams. So if you want me to go through the foursomes and four balls, I'll pick my four teams for each of them.
Will you?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Rattle through them.
So the foursomes in the morning, day one, I'll go USA. I'll go Spieth, Reed, Tiger Woods, Bryson DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Ricky Fowler. Day one, foursomes for Europe, Stenson Rose, Sergio Rory, John Rahm, Rory Ian Poulter, Paul Casey, Molinari. Day one, four balls for the USA, DJ Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, Tony Finau, Jordan Spieth, Patrick Reed, and Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson. Day one, European four balls, Stenson Rose, Rory McIlroy, John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Francesco Molinari, Paul Casey, and Tyrrell Hatton.
Wow. What price would you, do you reckon you are to get that absolutely right? That's very impressive, mate.
I would go, sort of relax, I'd probably go something like 300-1.
Yeah, well, that's not bad, is it?
Yeah.
That'd be really good.
Yeah.
Wilco, when I hear that, it makes me think America are good things here. They just sound better pairings, don't they?
Yeah, I think they've got... at the end of the day, they've got better golfers, in my opinion. I think that the thing that people will cling to with Europe is that they're playing at home. And, you know, perhaps the one thing about the American lineup is that you know, there's lots of big hitters in it, and this isn't particularly a track that lends itself to big hitting. It's quite
it's a bit of a fiddler's track. There's
so.
A lot of drink, isn't there?
But yeah, I agree. I think, you know, they've got I think they've got the stronger team, definitely.
Okay, Lucas says, is Rory's putting a concern heading into the Ryder Cup? Wilco?
I'm not overly. I saw this question. I'm not overly concerned about it.
Can you stop saying I saw this question, please, lads? All right.
88% of his putts inside 10 foot, he's knocked in. But what struck me is looking at his putting stats that he's second in putts per round on a Saturday and eighth on putts per round on a Sunday. So that suggests that he putts better perhaps when towards the business end of the tournaments when things are getting tougher and he's in river shallow.
Blimey, that is
so,
impressive.
You know, and obviously that's the sort of circumstances that he's going to be playing in when he's playing in Paris. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about that.
Ian, how do you pronounce the Irish first name? E-I-O-N.
Owen.
Owen, okay. Yeah. Owen Collins. Hi, Owen, thanks for your question. How would the experts price the Ryder Cup themselves if it was on neutral grounds? So if they're playing, say, Australia or somewhere. Well, how would you price this one up, Ian?
I'd probably be a little bit shorter in the USA then. I'd probably go something like 4-6, 13-8 Europe, and again, the tie 10-1. I think the European price is coming down, because of the course, and they play it so often, it's going to be suited to them more so than the USA. So yeah, neutral venue, obviously be short of USA.
Okay, Jim Conroy is very bullish. How will the Europeans stay with America in the fourballs? They just have birdie machines all over the team. I genuinely can't understand how Americans aren't shorter. Wilco, is this the time for you to know your colours officially to the American Masters?
To the Stars,
agree with Jim?
Yeah, I think I will. Yeah, I think they are. They're the team to beat. I think they've Jim Furyk's in a position where a lot of his team it picks itself. He's got such all his good star players playing, and I think they'll be boosted by the fact that they won in such comprehensive style last time. So
would you have gone Finau over Schofield?
Yeah, I think I would. I like Tony Finau.
Okay, next question for you. John Wright says, if hypothetically both Furyk and Bjorn could choose their full 12. Which team would have the most amendments from the original lineups? There's always a couple, isn't there, who the captains are kind of lumbered with, aren't they? So if they were able to just choose the best 12, who would they go for?
The obvious one, and the one that's the talking point, would have been Mickelson over Schauffele. I think if you didn't have the Mickelson kind of the back class and kind of the elder statesman, I think he would have picked Schauffele and Finau, and that would have made the USA a much stronger team, especially in the back end. Like, they're 12 is very strong, but there's still a little few loose ends in there. The likes of Mickelson, the likes of Bubba. Webb Simpson's probably a bit sketchy underneath the Ryder Cup pressure. So, yeah, I'd say the main one for Furyk would have been Schauffele over Mickelson. In terms of Bjorn, I don't think he could have really gone. You could say Sergio, maybe Sergio out, Rafa in, but I don't think he had too much choice. I don't think he had to. He was lumbered with anyone, really, Bjorn was. So.
Okay, fair enough. Here's a good one from Lee. Wilco, why are the captains so greatly acclaimed when they win? I don't think they do that much.
I'm inclined to agree. I think it's a job that you don't qualify for. It's not based on what you've achieved in previous management. Basically, it's based on the effect you've had around the camp in previous tournaments. It seems like there's a pool of sort of these vice captains, people who drive around on buggies and talk on walkie-talkies. And they take turns on who's going to get the gig. They've got no proven managerial experience. You always hear sort of like they'll come up with great inspired things that they do. Like McGinley got, oh, I've got Alex Ferguson to talk to the players, or oh, we got Seve on Skype to talk and things
or,
like that.
Or Nick Faldo had DJ Spoonie, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Well,
that was quite
it?
Inspirational, wasn't it? Very churchy.
It was different, we'll put it that way. But I think in the end of the day, captains are only said to be great Ryder Cup captains if they win, and they're said to be terrible Ryder Cup captains if they don't. So I'm inclined to agree that the captain's job is overrated.
Do you agree with that, Ian?
I agree with everything Wilco said there. It's explained brilliantly. So yeah,
okay.
I agree totally.
And finally, an old face from Postcast, Sean O'Sullivan, your one-time colleague, Ian, who was one of the best football judges I ever came across. He says, is the 2.6 Europe for the Ryder Cup the biggest all-in job of the century?
I wouldn't be that confident, but I'd definitely be back in Europe at 2.6 for sure, yeah.
Okay, brilliant. That's the Ryder Cup. Obviously, next week we will be looking ahead to the Tour Championship, which is the final event of the FedEx Cup countdown. The winner gets about 38 million quid and gives a flavour of the market as things stand in.
Yeah, sure. We have both the Tour Championship and the FedEx Cup up at the moment. So I'll give you the Tour Championship first. We're going to be sixth places next week on the 30-man field. So
wow, good
bonanza. Lads. Yeah, so Justin Rose has the betting 15-2. Dustin Johnson next in 8-1. Rory McIlroy 8-1. Justin Thomas 10-1. Brooks Koepka 12-1. Tiger Woods 14-1 and 16-1 bar. And the FedEx Cup currently is Bryson DeChambeau's our 5-2 joint favourite, sorry, with Justin Rose. Dustin Johnson 5-1. Tony Finau 6-1. Justin Thomas 8-1 and 14-1 bar.
All to play for. Okay. We will be back next week. I think Palmer's finally got back from Disneyland by then. So next week we will be looking at the Tour Championship in greater detail. But next up, we'll look at the KLM Open.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. Right then, the European Tour event this week is the KLM Open at the Dutch, which is in a place called Speak, I think. Speak. In the Netherlands, Colin Montgomery designed the course and Lee Westwood is among the favourites. I think actually you fly against the rest of the market. You've got Eddie Pepperell as jolly, haven't you, Ian?
We do, yeah. I'll give you a show of betting. 8 places this week in the Dutch Open. Eddie Pepperell does head the betting 14-1. Lee Westwood next in 16-1. Ryan Fox 22-1. Kiradesh Afi Barenrat 25-1. Chris Wood 25-1. Eric Van Rooyen 25-1. And 28-1 bar.
Okay then, Wilco, it's wide open. Who is your main tip?
I like Eric Van Rooyen this week. He's not played at the course before, but the greens in regulation stats are quite telling on this. It's been played at twice at this venue.
What sort of gaff is this here? Boomers or
well,
fiddlers?
Well, no, it's a second shot track, really. It's not particularly got narrow fairways. Lots of parallels drawn with a links layout, even though it's miles from the sea. So there's plenty of water about to be amiss, but greens in regulation have proved telling the last couple of years. 6 of the top 8 last year were in the top 10 for GIR, and Juice Luton won the year before last, and he was second in that stat. So which helps me lean towards Van Rooyen, who's 6 in those particular standings. You may remember he had a cracking start to the Open, where he really looked the part. And it's only a couple of weeks since he had a storming finish. He just missed the playoff by one shot after hitting a 65 at the Made in Denmark. Bit of an up-and-down week last week at the European Masters, but I get the feeling that a European Tour win's not too far away for him, and I think this could be the week.
Who's your main selection, Ian?
Main selection is Jorge Campillo. I think he's a big price in the field of this quality. He had 2 missed cuts at the Open and PGA Championship. These were expected. 55th last week at the European Masters, but did have rounds of 65 and 68 in there as well. Before the British Open, he had finishes of 3rd at the Irish Open, the Lynx course. 8 at the French Open, another windswept course. Much similar to the Dutch, actually, with a lot of water around it. And 32nd at the Scottish Open. These are all high-caliber Rolex Series events. He's played the Dutch twice, 24th in 2016 and 48th in 2017. He opened 2017 with a 76, but had rounds of 66 and 65 in there as well. So kind of enjoys the course with a bad round spattered in there. Strong iron player and a great putter on his day. I thought the 6-6-1 was dismissive and makes him a bet for me this week.
Okay, where's Juice Loughton, by the way?
He's injured. He's got a wrist injury. So
yeah, he's injured.
He's a standing dish at this, isn't
he? Yeah, he was very disappointed. Yeah, he had to drop
okay.
out.
Right, Wilco, who are you going to supplement Van Rooyen with?
Well, Ian said that Pepperell's favourite. I think it's a worthy choice. He finished 3rd in this last year, won the Qatar Masters, much better player than he really bounced back from a couple of years ago when he really looked the part and then had a bit of a dip. So I like him this week.
Do you like him as a bloke? Do you like his Twitter
his
stuff?
His Twitter feed is one of the best golf
He's
ones.
Great.
Well, I like two golf feeds. I like his golf feed and I like McDowell's golf feed because he'll sit at an airport and say to people, oh, send me your videos, and he gives people tips on like the golf and
Does
stuff
he?
Like that when
yeah.
he's waiting for his planes
oh,
and
cool.
stuff. So I like both of those.
Excellent.
Yeah, Pepperell's great. He's a really good tweeter. Needs to curb his language a little bit, perhaps. Anyway, yeah, and I've got another couple as well that I like. Max Kiefer. He's 60 to 1. He's put in two good greens in regulation performances at the venue. He finished 25th and 34th and looked the part when he hit 64 in his opening round last week at the European Masters. And Paraguayan Fabrizio Zanotti, he likes this. Although they've played at different venues, he's made the cut in 8 of the last 10 Dutch Opens. 16th 2 years ago, and he finished with a 66 last week as well. So he's coming in a good bit of form.
Jolly good. And Ian, who else are you backing apart from Jorge Campillo?
I have a next best and two outsiders. I'll work through them now. Next best is Aaron Rye. Missed the cut last week, but wouldn't take that too much into account. Incredibly accurate player off the tee, who always ranks highly in the greens and regulation stats, which is needed around here this week. The wind looks set to blow quite a bit this week. Rye is a very good player in the wind. This is backed up by a fifth at a windswept BMW International Open in June, and was followed by a ninth place at the Scottish Open, where he was challenging for the lead before turning for home. I think he's the right skill set to challenge for the title this week. I think he just needs a decent week on the greens, and at 80-1, I was willing to take a chance on that happening. First outsider is Christian Bezuidenhout. Three top 30s in his last three events. Can be a little erratic with his driver at times, but will welcome the wider fairways at the Dutch. Hasn't put up solid tee to green figures this summer. His putting stats are also making vast improvements, so should be suited to the putting test on these greens. Think he is close to a very big week, and thought he was worth an each way play at 500-1. And the last outsider, one of the massive prices, Rainier Saxton, 30-year-old Dutch player who's starting putting good some good results in the Challenge Tour. 28 in his debut in the Dutch Open in 2014. Showed up his game playing in his native Open. I thought he's worth a small investment of 500-1. Quote of 20-1 for a top 20 and 33-1 for a top 10 are also worth plays, in my opinion.
What's his name, Ian? I can't find
Rainier, him. Rainier Saxton.
It's Rainier Saxton. Where's he from?
He's from Holland.
Holland. Okay, yeah, fair enough. And we've also got Rye, R-I-I, and we've got Bezuidenhout as well, yeah?
Yes.
Lovely. Well done, lads. Now, what else do you like in this? Obviously, you know, time used to be that you'd only ever get a tops market or make the cut and miss the cut and first round leader for the majors, but now it's de rigueur for every event, isn't it, Ian?
Yeah,
you guys,
yeah, we do.
Your output is absolutely magnified lately, hasn't it?
Yeah, we really, really upped the output in the last year to 18 months. It's just
Top 10s, top 20s, top 30s, and top 40.
Yeah,
it's absolutely brilliant. I've got to say, a great service. So, Wilco, hopefully you've trawled all through those. Have you got any other bets that aren't focused just on the outright?
I like Kelson this week to be top Dane, top Scandinavian. Anything like that. I think he's began to find some form. He's another player who had a dip, but an accurate player, and he's finished 12th in the last 2 weeks, so I'd expect him to take to the thing. I had him on a spread bet to beat Haitong Li, the Chinese fella.
Righty.
So anything like that. Look to get with him on match bets as well. And Kiefer to beat Alex Levy, he's not made a... Levy... Frenchman, obviously, there was lots of talk about perhaps he could make the Ryder Cup team, but he's had difficult form. So I've talked about Kiefer already, and Levy's made just one top 50 in his last 11 events. So
righty
I'm keen on him either.
Ian, what else you got for us?
I've had three bets in top 20s. Aaron Rye was at 7-2, so I've backed that. Bezuidenhout was at 6-1, I've backed that as well. And Saxton at 20s for a top 20. They're my three in the extra markets as well.
Jolly good. Thank you very much, chaps. Let's look at a couple of other events taking place this week next.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place five bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Ian Wilkerson and Paddy Powers, Ian McLaughlin. We're going to look ahead now to the Evian Championship. It's the final women's major of the year. And Ian, give us Paddy Powers' latest betting.
Yep, six places this week in the Evian Championship. Aria Jutanagarn 11-1, Minji Lee 12-1, Sung Young Park 12-1, Brooke Henderson 12-1, Lydia Ko 16-1, Sun Yun Ru 18-1, and 20-1 bar.
Ian, when you're pricing these up, where do you start? What's the first thing you look at?
It's generally just world rankings and then looking through previous form for the season, because especially in the women's tournaments and the season, they can kind of come from nowhere, if you know what I mean. Like, there's girls here like Nasa Hataoka, Sun Yun Ru, who, if you ask me the prices last year, would be probably 1,000-1 shots. Now they're 18-1 and 25-1 respectively. So it's more recent form for me for the women's golf, for sure, as opposed to the men's, where there's a lot of back class. You're looking for form of courses for 5 or 6 years. It's not really the case here in women's golf. So I kind of find recent form has a much bigger weight than anything else in this.
Okay, interesting. Right then, Wilco, who's your main tip here?
I will bow to the superior knowledge of my colleague Jeremy Chapman, who's, you know, does great winners and stuff. He really likes Georgia Hall, and his commentary suggests that there's a lot to like about her as well. She won the British Open, and he's raving about, wow, she's going to be such a great potential star in the women's game. And she's been competitive on the other side of the Atlantic as well. And having finished 10th in this tournament, and a player who appears to be on the upgrade, I think 25-1, I think that's an excellent bet.
Okay, so Wilco and our resident women's golf expert, Jeremy Chapman, both go for Georgia Hall. Who do you like, Ian?
I've had one bet this week, and it's Brooke Henderson. I think she's clearly the best player in the world at the moment. I thought 12-1 was a very fair price. She's a good record around the course as well. Won 2 weeks ago, has had strong form in majors all season. Yeah, she was the one bet I kind of found in the market. It was tricky to find anything else in behind, but I thought Brooke was the most solid one at 12-1.
In our price books, we call her Brooke M. Henderson.
Yeah, it's M. Henderson. I'm not sure what the M stands for, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much indeed. Right, now then, a postcast first. Theweb.com. Like I say, no American Tour event this week. So we're just going to dip our toes into the Albertsons Boys Open, presented by Kraft. What's the latest betting in?
Six places again here. Denny McCarthy heads are betting at 18-1. Peter Malnati 20-1. Julian Suri 25-1. Hunter Mahan 25-1. Cameron Champ 28-1. Sung Jae Im 28-1. And 30-1 Bar.
Poor old Hunter.
Yeah.
I went to the Ryder Cup in 2008 at Valhalla 10 years ago, and he was in the US team there, one of the real stars of American golf at that time, and now here he is. Scratching around in the Albertsons Boys. Can he win it? We'll see. Oh, Ian Wilkerson, you can go first. Who's going to win this?
Yeah, it's plenty to play for because this is the penultimate event in the web.com final. So there's 25 places available from the results from the last four. They've already got 25 people who have qualified, and there's 25 places up for grabs next week. So McCarthy looks a worthy favourite, and what is a open heat. He's missed a cut in two of his last 12 efforts on the main tour, which bodes well. And he's claimed top 10 finishes in the last two web.com, the first two qualifiers, if you like, the Nationwide Children's Hospital and the DAP Championship. He was ninth in this last year, so I like him at 18-1. But and also an interesting addition is South African Dylan Fritelli, who has been performing well on the...
We'll remember him from the European Tour.
Yeah,
sure.
Brad plays well on the European Tour. He's not played particularly well in the last couple of web.com events. He's obviously looking at this way to get his card and play in America more. 17th from 42nd. But he's 68th ranked player in the world. And when you compare that to McCarthy's 339th, even though Fritelli tends to blow hot and cold, I think he's worth a poke at 35-1.
Look at you. Honestly, Ian, when I walked in this morning, Wilco was at his desk going, oh, we've got to do the bloody web.com. I can't believe it. He was swishing his tail like mad. Now he's a walking encyclopedia on it.
That's it, yeah. That was some, that was some preview
bit
there.
Of focus.
Yeah. That's
unbelievable.
It.
That was a great comeback, that. I thought you were going to go, I don't know, the favourite. Ian McLaughlin, who's your fancy for this?
Top bet is Sung Jae Im. He was the web.com money list winner this year, including two wins. The most recent of those was the Portland Open 3 weeks ago, so in good form. Last week in the podcast, I touted him as a future world number one, so I should be thinking he has potential value in the calibre of this field. I thought quotes of 33-1 looked fair and be getting involved at those prices. There was two more. I like the next best and an outsider if we go through them as well. Curtis Luck was the next best. Another player in good form. Sixth at the Portland Open, followed by a fifth at the Nationwide Championship. A missed cut last week means he's going under the radar somewhat. Very close to securing his PGA Tour card. I think he gets it with a good showing here at 80-1. And the outside of the field is Maverick McNealy. Has been out of form recently, but a class player in his day. Backed him a few times this year in the web.com, and he usually gets off to a great start and can't really sustain that for 4 days. I think he's a future star of the game, and I think he can go close to getting his PGA Tour card this week. At a quotes of 175-1, I thought it was worth a play him to be Top Gun this week. Pardon
oh,
the pun.
Yeah, we get that, don't we? Yeah. That's some name to be given, isn't it? Maverick.
Like, yes.
What if you turn out to be just a really average sort of guy, you know, and a regular kind of guy? Hi there, how you doing? I work in insurance.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
what's
your name?
I'm
Maverick. It's a weird one, that. But okay, yeah.
One thing to bear in mind with web.com, it's quite a good idea at this time of year to keep an eye on it, because yeah. Chess and Hadley won this last year, and then once the big names had dropped away, you know, they'd finished for the season, hung their clubs up for a while. These guys tend to fly out of the box. Hadley had three top five finishes in October on the main tour, having played well.
Series.
They really look to push forward.
Okay.
So if you're looking to sort of like fill your boots on the main tour, October, November, now's the time to cast an eye over the web.com and see who's doing well. You might find some decent prices.
Different gear.
Cast your mind over the web.com. An hour ago, he didn't even know whether it was two B's in web. What about the Greyhound, Cameron Champ? Can he do anything for us this weekend?
28-1 is probably fair. I couldn't put anyone off him. He's obviously a very, very classy player at the moment. I think he's got his card, so maybe there's motivation. Like, the guys I was putting up are obviously either in great form or trying to chase their card. So is Champ that motivated this week? It's questionable. So, but 28-1, obviously, I'm not going to put anyone off that sort of
lovely
price.
Stuff. Thank you very much, the Ians. Steve will be back next week. Are you back with us, Ian, next week?
I'll be back next week, yeah.
Jolly sure. Good. We're looking into the Tour Championship and also the Portugal Masters at Vilamoura. We've got the football podcast tomorrow. We've got the racing on Friday. If you can't join us for them, do join us next Wednesday for another Racing Post Golf Postcast.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.